Introduction. The landscape of cardiovascular health has undergone a dramatic transformation in recent years, particularly in how we understand and treat hypertension. When we examine the current state of cardiovascular health in America, the statistics are sobering. O'Hearn and colleagues' 2022 research revealed a troubling decline in cardiometabolic health from 1999 to 2018, with fewer than 7% of U.S. adults maintaining optimal cardiovascular function. This shift has profound implications for how we approach blood pressure management and treatment. Understanding blood pressure. The mechanics of blood pressure represent an intricate dance between various physiological systems. Imagine your cardiovascular system as an incredibly sophisticated plumbing network, where blood pressure results from the interplay between how forcefully your heart pumps, cardiac output, and the resistance it encounters in your blood vessels, systemic vascular resistance. This resistance isn't just about the size of your blood vessels. It's influenced by everything from blood thickness to vessel length and diameter. The arterioles, those tiny blood vessels that branch off from larger arteries, play a particularly fascinating role. These microscopic vessels can have a profound impact on your entire cardiovascular system. Even a slight change in their diameter can significantly impact your blood pressure. It's similar to how a small adjustment in a water faucet can change the pressure of the entire system. Demographics and risk factors. The 2017 redefinition of normal blood pressure as below 120/80 millimeters of mercury sent shockwaves through the medical community. This seemingly small change had massive implications. Overnight, the number of Americans classified as hypertensive jumped from 72 million to 103 million. To put this in perspective, under current guidelines, 50% of men and 38% of women in the United States are considered hypertensive. The demographics of hypertension tell an important story about health disparities in America. African Americans face a disproportionately high risk, as do individuals with diabetes. Age also plays a crucial role. While one-third of Americans overall have hypertension, this rises to two-thirds among those over 60. These statistics aren't just numbers. They represent millions of individuals at increased risk for heart disease, stroke, and cognitive decline. Symptoms and clinical presentation. The insidious nature of hypertension lies in its often silent progression. Many patients can have dangerously elevated blood pressure without experiencing any noticeable symptoms. However, when symptoms do manifest, they can include. Several mistakes can elevate blood pressure. Using a cuff that is too small can overestimate systolic pressure by 5 to 20 millimeters of mercury, while failing to support the back or sit upright adds approximately 5 millimeters of mercury. Crossing the legs instead of keeping them flat on the floor can raise readings by 3 to 15 millimeters of mercury, and not keeping both feet grounded can contribute an additional 5 millimeters of mercury. Talking during the measurement can lead to an increase ranging from 4 to 19 millimeters of mercury, reflecting sympathetic arousal. Finally, consuming caffeine less than 30 minutes before the reading may elevate blood pressure by 3 to 15 millimeters of mercury. Each of these factors introduces measurable error, underscoring the importance of maintaining proper posture, silence, accurately sized equipment, and proper pre-measurement behavior to ensure accurate blood pressure assessment. The long-term implications of elevated blood pressure are particularly concerning. Recent research has revealed that even slightly elevated blood pressure in middle age correlates with a 30% increased risk of dementia or cognitive impairment 2 decades later. This connection between cardiovascular health and cognitive function underscores the importance of early intervention and consistent management. Pathophysiology and mechanisms. Essential hypertension, which accounts for 92 to 95% of all cases, is a remarkably complex disorder. It's not simply a matter of high blood pressure. It's a manifestation of multiple genetic and environmental factors affecting blood volume and vascular resistance. Think of it as a symphony where multiple instruments, genetic predisposition, environmental factors, lifestyle choices, must play together, and when one or more are out of tune, the result is elevated blood pressure. The genetic component is particularly interesting. Twin studies and the Framingham Heart Study suggest that 33 to 57% of blood pressure variation can be attributed to hereditary factors. This genetic influence doesn't mean hypertension is inevitable for those with a family history, but it does emphasize the importance of early monitoring and intervention for at-risk individuals. Treatment approaches and biofeedback. The treatment landscape for hypertension has evolved into a sophisticated, multimodal approach. The foundation typically begins with lifestyle modifications, with weight loss emerging as particularly effective due to its multiple pathways of influence on blood pressure. The relationship between salt intake and blood pressure is more complex than previously thought. While about 60% of hypertensive patients are salt sensitive, surprisingly, 4-5% of individuals actually experience lower blood pressure with salt intake. Biofeedback has emerged as a particularly powerful tool in the hypertension treatment arsenal. The work of McGrady and colleagues has been instrumental in understanding what makes biofeedback effective. Their research identified key components of successful treatment programs, including careful patient screening, multiple treatment sessions, typically 15 to 20, consistent home practice, regular blood pressure monitoring, and the integration of stress management techniques. The effectiveness of biofeedback can be illustrated through numerous success stories. Consider the case of Sarah, a 52-year-old executive with persistent hypertension despite medication. Through a combination of temperature biofeedback and heart rate variability training, she learned to control her physiological responses to stress. After 6 months of training, her blood pressure had stabilized at 118 over 75 millimeters of mercury, allowing her physician to reduce her medication dosage. According to Harvard Medical School, 2018, several lifestyle changes can effectively lower blood pressure. Weight loss yields approximately a 1 millimeters of mercury reduction for every 1 to 2 pounds lost. Adopting the DASH diet, which emphasizes fruits, vegetables, low-fat dairy products, and reduced total fat intake, can lower blood pressure by approximately 11 millimeters of mercury. Reducing daily salt intake by 1,000 milligrams typically results in a 5 to 6 millimeters of mercury drop. Increasing dietary potassium intake to between 3,500 and 5,000 milligrams per day is associated with a 4 to 5 millimeters of mercury reduction. Engaging in 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week lowers blood pressure by 4 to 8 millimeters of mercury. Limiting alcohol consumption to no more than 2 drinks per day for men and 1 for women provides an additional 4 millimeters of mercury reduction. Ultimately, quitting smoking can lead to a decrease in blood pressure, ranging from 2 to 8 millimeters of mercury, depending on individual factors and overall health status. These interventions offer a cumulative and non-pharmacological strategy to manage hypertension. Research and efficacy. Based on 3 RCTs for essential hypertension and 5 for prehypertension treatments, Angeli McGrady, 2023, rated biofeedback for essential hypertension as level 4, efficacious in evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 4th edition. The biofeedback interventions trained participants to lower electrodermal and SCMG activity, as well as SBP, and increase HRV. Participants lowered their diastolic blood pressure, DBP, and systolic blood pressure, SBP, and increased baroreflex sensitivity, BRS. If the baroreflex system reacts strongly to a small blood pressure, BP, change, the baroreflex sensitivity, BRS, would be high. If it reacts weakly, BRS would be low. Future directions and implications. As we look to the future of hypertension treatment, the integration of biofeedback with other therapeutic approaches shows tremendous promise. The shift from focusing solely on sympathetic nervous system overactivity to also addressing parasympathetic function represents a significant evolution in our understanding. This dual brake approach, addressing both the accelerator and the brakes of our cardiovascular system, offers new possibilities for treatment optimization. Vasovagal syncope, a comprehensive overview. Imagine standing in line at a crowded store when suddenly you feel lightheaded, your vision starts to dim, and the next thing you know, you're waking up on the floor. This scenario describes vasovagal syncope, VVS, a fascinating yet often misunderstood cardiovascular condition that affects a surprisingly large portion of the population. Let's dive deep into understanding this common but concerning phenomenon. Understanding the mechanism. Vasovagal syncope, also known as neurocardiogenic syncope, represents an elegant, yet sometimes problematic interaction between the heart, blood vessels, and nervous system. During stressful events or triggers, there's a sudden increase in vagus nerve activity. Think of it as your body's natural brake system suddenly being applied too strongly. This activation causes two simultaneous effects. Your heart rate slows down, reducing cardiac output, and your blood vessels dilate, causing blood to pool in your lower body. The result is similar to what happens when too many people try to exit through a building's bottom floor all at once. There's a traffic jam of blood in the lower body, reducing the amount that reaches the brain. When your brain doesn't receive enough blood flow, consciousness fades, leading to fainting. What makes this condition particularly interesting is that it's actually a reflex response gone awry. Your body is essentially overreacting to certain triggers. Demographics and prevalence. The statistics surrounding vasovagal syncope are striking. Approximately 50% of Americans will experience at least one episode of syncope during their lifetime. This makes it the most common cause of consciousness loss in otherwise healthy individuals. To put this in perspective, syncope accounts for 1 to 3% of all emergency room visits and 6% of hospital admissions annually. These numbers translate to millions of medical visits and significant healthcare costs. What's particularly fascinating is that VVS can affect anyone at any age, though the triggers and presentation may vary across different life stages. Young adults might experience episodes during times of emotional stress or in response to the sight of blood, while older adults might be more susceptible to episodes triggered by prolonged standing or dehydration. Clinical presentation and triggers. The presentation of vasovagal syncope often follows a characteristic pattern. Patients typically experience a prodrome, which is a set of warning symptoms that may include. Let's consider the case of Maria, a 28-year-old teacher who experienced recurring episodes of vasovagal syncope during her morning classes. Through careful monitoring, she identified that the episodes were more likely to occur when she hadn't eaten breakfast and was standing for long periods while teaching. This real-world example illustrates how everyday situations can trigger episodes in susceptible individuals. Biofeedback treatment approaches. The treatment of vasovagal syncope through biofeedback represents a significant advancement in managing this condition. The primary approach, known as BART, Biofeedback-Assisted Relaxation Therapy, combines several powerful techniques, including EMG biofeedback, thermal biofeedback, and both autogenic and progressive relaxation training. A fascinating case study from McGrady and colleagues' research involved Tom, a 45-year-old executive who experienced frequent syncope episodes during stressful meetings. Through BART, he learned to recognize early warning signs and use biofeedback techniques to prevent full syncopal episodes. After 8 sessions, his episode frequency decreased by 75%, and he reported feeling more confident in managing stressful situations. Research and efficacy. Based on one RCT, Fred Schaefer, 2023, rated biofeedback for vasovagal syncope as level 2, possibly efficacious, in evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 4th edition. He assigned this rating due to the limited number of studies and patients. Current status and future directions. The future of VVS treatment likely lies in combining biofeedback with other therapeutic approaches and possibly integrating new technologies for monitoring and intervention. Wearable devices that can detect early warning signs and prompt preventive measures represent an exciting frontier in managing this condition. Heart failure and coronary artery disease. A comprehensive overview. The heart is often compared to a tireless engine, but like any mechanical system, it can face significant challenges. Heart failure, HF, and coronary artery disease, CAD, represent two of the most serious cardiovascular conditions affecting millions of Americans. Let's explore these conditions in depth, examining how they develop, who they affect, and how modern treatments, including biofeedback, can help manage them. Understanding heart failure. Heart failure occurs when the heart's pumping capacity becomes compromised, leading to insufficient blood flow to meet the body's needs. Imagine a pump that's struggling to move water through a complex system of pipes. It either can't push hard enough systolic failure, or can't fill properly between pumps, diastolic failure. This simple analogy helps us understand a complex condition that affects 5.7 million Americans. The impact of heart failure varies depending on which side of the heart is affected. Left-sided heart failure typically manifests as shortness of breath and fatigue. Imagine trying to run a marathon while breathing through a straw. Right-sided heart failure, on the other hand, leads to fluid accumulation in the periphery and abdomen, similar to what happens when a dam backs up water in a river system. Demographics and impact. The statistics surrounding heart failure are sobering. It affects 2% of the U.S. population and is responsible for 34% of cardiovascular-related deaths, claiming approximately 277,000 lives each year. Perhaps most striking is that heart failure is the leading cause of hospitalization for patients over 65. For many patients, advanced treatment may require support with a left ventricular assist device, LVAD, while awaiting a heart transplant, a testament to both the severity of the condition and the advanced state of modern medical intervention. Coronary artery disease. Coronary artery disease presents its unique challenges. At its core, CAD involves reduced blood flow through the coronary arteries, often due to atherosclerosis, the buildup of fatty deposits called atheromas on artery walls. Think of it like mineral deposits gradually narrowing a pipe. As the passage becomes more restricted, less blood can flow to the heart muscle. The process becomes particularly dangerous when the protective cap of an atheroma ruptures. This can trigger blood clot formation, potentially leading to a complete blockage and a heart attack. The damage from such an event is permanent. The heart muscle dies and is replaced by scar tissue that cannot contract, resulting in a permanent reduction in the heart's pumping capacity. Biofeedback applications and research. Recent research has shown promising results for heart rate variability biofeedback, HRVB, in treating both conditions. This represents a significant paradigm shift in treatment approach. Rather than focusing solely on reducing sympathetic nervous system activation, like taking your foot off the accelerator, modern treatments also aim to increase parasympathetic activity, applying the brakes more effectively. A groundbreaking study by Del Pozzo and colleagues, 2004, demonstrated how cardiorespiratory biofeedback could increase heart rate variability in CAD patients. The results were remarkable. While the control group's condition deteriorated, the biofeedback group showed significant improvements in heart rate variability, with mean SDNN, a measure of heart rate variability, increasing from 28 to 42 milliseconds. Consider the case of John, a 62-year-old heart failure patient who participated in a biofeedback program. Initially skeptical, he found that 6 weeks of respiratory training and HRVB significantly improved his exercise tolerance. More importantly, these improvements translated into tangible benefits in the real world. He could once again climb stairs without stopping to catch his breath and play with his grandchildren. Treatment protocols and efficacy. Christine Moravec and Michael McKee, 2016, rated biofeedback for heart failure and coronary artery disease as level 2, possibly efficacious, in evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback, 3rd edition. Swanson's research with 29 heart failure patients demonstrated that combined respiratory training and HRVB could enhance exercise tolerance, particularly in patients with left ventricular ejection fractions of 31% or higher. These findings suggest that biofeedback could play a valuable role in comprehensive cardiac rehabilitation programs. Future directions and implications. As our understanding of heart-brain interactions grows, the potential for biofeedback in treating cardiovascular conditions expands. Current research is exploring how HRVB might help prevent future cardiac events, manage symptoms, and improve quality of life for patients with both conditions. The future may lie in personalized protocols that combine traditional medical management with targeted biofeedback interventions. Cardiac arrhythmias, a comprehensive overview. The human heart's electrical system is a marvel of biological engineering, orchestrating a precise sequence of contractions that pump life-sustaining blood throughout our bodies. At the center of this system lies the sinoatrial, SA, node, nature's own pacemaker, which initiates each heartbeat through spontaneous electrical impulses. When functioning properly, this system maintains a steady rhythm between 60 to 100 beats per minute. However, disruptions to this delicate system can lead to various forms of arrhythmias, each with its own characteristics and challenges. Among cardiac rhythm disorders, supraventricular tachycardias, SVTs, emerge as the most prevalent, with atrial fibrillation, AF, affecting approximately 2% of the U.S. population. These conditions manifest in various ways, each presenting unique challenges for both patients and healthcare providers. Paroxysmal atrial tachycardia, one common form of SVT, manifests as sudden episodes of rapid heartbeat that begin and end abruptly. Young patients often experience these episodes during physical exertion, creating significant anxiety about exercise and daily activities. For instance, one patient, a 25-year-old marathon trainer named Sarah, initially feared her running career might be over when she began experiencing episodes during training. Through dedicated work with EKG biofeedback, she learned to identify early warning signs and developed effective strategies to prevent episodes from escalating to severe levels. Atrial fibrillation presents a different challenge altogether. In this condition, the heart's upper chambers quiver instead of contracting effectively, potentially driving heart rates up to 160 beats per minute. The impact on patients' quality of life can be substantial, with symptoms ranging from persistent fatigue and shortness of breath to more severe manifestations like chest pain or heart failure, particularly in older individuals. Ventricular ectopic beats, or premature ventricular contractions, PVCs, represent another common arrhythmia type. While these extra heartbeats originating in the ventricles usually prove benign in healthy individuals, they can signal more serious concerns in those with underlying heart disease. The frequency and pattern of these beats often provide valuable diagnostic information for healthcare providers. The application of biofeedback to arrhythmia management has opened exciting new possibilities in cardiology. Research pioneers like Engel and colleagues demonstrated that patients could develop remarkable control over their heart rhythms through continuous beat-by-beat heart rate feedback. Their work showed that even patients with complex arrhythmias could learn to modify their heart patterns through dedicated training and practice. Consider Michael, a 42-year-old executive who struggled with frequent PVCs. His success story illustrates the potential of biofeedback in arrhythmia management. Through a comprehensive training program that combined continuous heart rate monitoring with personalized feedback, Michael learned to identify his specific triggers and modify his physiological responses. After 8 weeks, he achieved a 70% reduction in PVC frequency and, perhaps more importantly, reported feeling more in control of his condition. Research in this field has produced compelling evidence for biofeedback's effectiveness. Studies by Bleeker and Engel demonstrated that patients with fixed atrial fibrillation could learn to control their ventricular rates consciously. Similarly, research teams led by Weiss and Engel, along with Pickering and colleagues, successfully taught patients to reduce ventricular ectopic beats through heart rate feedback techniques. However, it's crucial to maintain perspective about biofeedback's role in arrhythmia treatment. As Engel and Bale thoughtfully noted, while these techniques show promise, they should be viewed as complementary rather than primary treatments. The most effective approaches typically integrate biofeedback into a comprehensive treatment plan that includes traditional medical management. Looking toward the future, the field of arrhythmia management continues to evolve. Advances in wearable technology and real-time monitoring systems create new possibilities for more sophisticated and accessible biofeedback protocols. This integration of traditional medical treatments with biofeedback and other behavioral interventions represents a significant evolution in our approach to heart rhythm disorders, acknowledging that patients can actively participate in their treatment through self-regulation techniques rather than relying solely on medical or surgical interventions. Conclusion: the future of cardiovascular biofeedback. The landscape of cardiovascular health management has undergone significant evolution through the integration of biofeedback techniques with traditional medical approaches. As we've explored the four major cardiovascular conditions, essential hypertension, vasovagal syncope, heart failure, coronary artery disease, and cardiac arrhythmias, several compelling themes emerge about the future of cardiovascular care. First, we're witnessing a paradigm shift in how we approach cardiovascular disorders. The traditional model of simply fixing a stuck accelerator by reducing sympathetic nervous system activity is giving way to a more nuanced understanding that also emphasizes improving the brakes through enhanced vagal tone and heart rate variability. This dual approach recognizes the complex interplay between various physiological systems and offers more comprehensive treatment options. The evidence supporting biofeedback's efficacy varies across conditions, from level 4, efficacious, for essential hypertension to level 2, possibly efficacious, for vasovagal syncope and heart failure. These ratings reflect not just treatment effectiveness, but also the varying depths of available research. As more studies emerge and technologies advance, we may see these efficacy ratings evolve, particularly for newer applications. Perhaps most encouraging is the growing recognition that patients can take an active role in managing their cardiovascular health. Through biofeedback training, individuals learn to understand and control their physiological responses, transforming from passive recipients of care to active participants in their treatment. The case studies we've examined, from Richard's success with hypertension to Michael's management of cardiac arrhythmias, demonstrate the powerful potential of this approach. The integration of modern technology promises to revolutionize cardiovascular biofeedback further. Wearable devices, real-time monitoring systems, and sophisticated feedback mechanisms are making these interventions more accessible and effective than ever before. This technological evolution, combined with our deepening understanding of heart-brain interactions, suggests we're only beginning to tap the full potential of biofeedback in cardiovascular care. However, it's crucial to maintain perspective. Biofeedback is not a magic bullet, but rather a valuable tool in a comprehensive treatment approach. Its greatest success comes when integrated thoughtfully with traditional medical management, lifestyle modifications, and other therapeutic interventions. The future lies not in choosing between conventional and alternative approaches, but in weaving them together to create personalized, effective treatment strategies. As we look ahead, the field of cardiovascular biofeedback stands at an exciting crossroads. With continued research, technological advancement, and clinical innovation, we can expect to see even more sophisticated and effective applications emerge. The challenge and opportunity lie in continuing to bridge the gap between scientific understanding and clinical practice, ensuring these powerful tools reach the patients who need them most.